I'm going to look at some verses in Galatians 4. I've been going through the book of Galatians. It's interesting, the history of the early church. Remember that most of the early believers were Jews. And in Jerusalem, even many priests believed, but they were zealous for the law. And some of those issues came in Jerusalem. Well, there were, Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, that's Syria, and some Gentiles got saved. So the question came in, well, how does this interact with the Gentiles? And even some Jews from Jerusalem comes down to Antioch. And as Paul has had to talk, there was a disagreement there of what was going on would be on these believers that have to follow. But we're told in Acts 13 that the Spirit of God selected Barnabas and Paul to go off on a missionary journey to what is Turkey, eventually to what is Greece and Europe, and bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And we see there, as they went to places like Antioch, Lystra, Derbe, the cities of southern Roman province of Galatia, that one, unbelieving Jews were persecuting Paul and Barnabas, even having them stoned. And wherever he went, from city to city, they followed. But not only did he have to deal with that, but then there were Jews claimed to come from James in Jerusalem to the believers in these places, to the churches that were established by Paul and Barnabas. And they were undermining the gospel, undermining Paul. And we see Galatians, really, Paul is writing to those churches in those cities to combat the falseness that's coming in. But you see, when they would come, Paul would leave. He would establish the gospel among the Gentiles. Many of them get saved, go on to the next city as he's persecuted by unbelieving Jews. But these Jews who said they were believers followed to come to the churches in Derbe and Lystra and Antioch. And you know, they'd say something like this. Say, so, you know that Paul, he wasn't one of the 12. He wasn't really an apostle. He's just kind of a self-appointed apostle. He was never authorized to teach the gospel and speak the true gospel, the full gospel, from those at Jerusalem. He was self-appointed, and not only that, his history is he's a bit of a troublemaker. You know, before he claimed that he got saved, he was even out there a fanatic, killing believers. And even Peter, he got into a fight with Peter at Antioch. Can you believe that? And he rebuked him publicly. Peter, the chief of the apostles. You can't trust what Paul is saying. Because you see, he brings in a gospel that is a gospel of easy believism. All you have to do is believe and then live any way you want. That's not the gospel. The gospel, yeah, there's faith involved. But in order to become a child of Abraham, you got to be circumcised. You got to keep the law. Jesus kept the law. The apostles kept the law. All those in Jerusalem keeping the law. And Paul's coming, he's teaching this false teaching. You can't follow him. He's not telling you what's correct. The key to becoming one of Abraham's children is to be circumcised. That was the blessing would come on all those that are circumcised and keeping the law. Now these are the things that Paul had to deal with. This is the teaching of false brethren. You know, it's one thing for unbelievers to attack the gospel. There's a defense of the gospel that we give to those who do not believe Jesus is Messiah. Do not believe in the things of the Lord. But you know, it's harder when somebody comes and says, yeah, I believe. And then they say, but you know, they don't quite have it right. This is the correct way. This is the truth of the gospel. You all have to do this. You all have to be circumcised. You have to follow the law. You know, why do you think God gave you the law? It's His standard. It's His will revealed. And you have to follow it in order to be saved. Yeah, it's grace. But it's grace plus works. God helps those who help themselves. Don't you know that? Don't you know you can't just be saved by faith and grace? You've got to do something to keep yourself saved. Let me tell you, if I had to keep myself saved, I'm in big trouble. You know, I'm lost. Because not only could I save myself, I couldn't. I depend completely on the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful that is promised. And Paul has to go through these first few chapters. He defends his apostleship. He says, yeah, I'm independent of those in Jerusalem. They didn't authorize me. The Lord gave me revelation. Came to me directly. Showed me who He was and the truth of the gospel that I preach. I'm in fellowship with those in Jerusalem. They gave me the right hand of fellowship. There's no Peter against Paul stuff here. And yeah, Peter was wrong in Antioch. I had to rebuke him, but he deserved it because he acted as a hypocrite. He said one thing and then he was withdrawing from the Gentile believers because he was afraid of the Jews. And yes, God gave to Abraham the gospel, and he said it was by faith that his righteousness was reckoned, not by works. It wasn't that the law came in later on as a further revelation on top of what promises were to Abraham, because the law given 430 years later cannot annul the promises that were given in unconditional grace to Abraham. You see, the law came with a mediator. There was God's side and there was man's side. If man kept the law, then God will keep His side. But if you broke the law, then you're under the curse. Because cursed is any man who does not keep every single one of the laws of God to do it. And we Jews who grew up under the law, we realized that we could not keep it. I was a zealous after the law and God's revelation of the law as anybody could be. And I looked just like that rich man that came to Jesus. He said, I've kept all these laws from my youth. What do I lack? Well, he lacked, thou shalt not covet. I had the same problem. When I looked at that verse that said, thou shalt not covet, and I looked in my own heart, I said, wow, I covet. I desire what I shouldn't desire. The things, I know I shouldn't desire them. I know I shouldn't want them. there's within me things that want them. And when you tell me don't want them, that makes me want to want them even more. I break the law. I'm under its curse. And you see, even these people that want to put you under the law, they don't keep it themselves. They try to minimize what the law says. They say, well, covetousness isn't a sin. Wrong desires isn't a sin. It's only if you do something. That's not what the law says. Thou shalt not covet. It is sin. So they try to lower the law to something that they can meet. Or they leave out conveniently the things that they don't like about the law. Things that they want to do. And the things that they don't care about doing, they say, those are the things I keep. And that's always been the case. The false teaching of a gospel of grace plus the law is even among us today. Many churches, many places, their whole system is set up by keeping ordinances, rituals, doing this, doing that. What's important? What you wear, how you look, what you eat or drink, what days you keep, or whatever. A whole system of religion. And Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a person, a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That when we trust His faithfulness, His life is formed within us. And in order to keep from sinning is not by going back to the commandments again, which never could save, never could keep us from sinning. It's by dependence upon His faithfulness. He's given us His Spirit in order to empower us to walk in His ways, because He's made us His children. He's made us His son. To focus on of keeping the law, of doing this or that, takes our eyes off of Christ, puts it on ourselves. And there's a lot of false religions that want to make you look at yourself rather than look at the Lord Jesus. People will say, "What? You know, we see these people, they're walking that way, they're doing what's wrong. Aren't we supposed to put them under the law? Say, don't, thou shalt not." The flesh does it that way. The challenge to believers, so we challenge each other, follow the Lord. Follow Christ. Walk in His way. The Lord shows how we should deal with problems that come among us. How we go to Him one-on-one in love. We're looking at the heart, not just the outward appearance. Because, you know, each group can have their own set of rules. If you keep those rules, you're okay. But if you break one of them, oh, then we're concerned about you. We're not looking at, where are they spiritually? Where's that believer? If he's failing, he's having a problem, sin in his life, what's the root of that? Where's his life with the Lord? Now, our young people, we want to encourage you. Walk with the Lord daily. Spend time in His Word. Spend time with Christ in prayer and the reading of His Word. Let me ask you, do you read His Word every day? We used to call it a quiet time back in the 70s. It was a popular phrase. Do you have a time that you just set aside and you look at God's Word and have Him speak to you, and you pray to Him and you tell Him your problems? You ask His grace to help you through the day. That's fellowship with the life of the Lord. If you don't talk to somebody ever and they ever talk to you, what kind of a relationship is that? It's not law. Beat you over the head if you don't do it. It's the God of the universe cares about me and wants to spend time with me. and wants me to spend time with him, calls me his son, made a way of salvation, that he has done all the work, and then he's given me his life so that I can please him and walk with him. Not by law, but by grace. The law had two people, conditional. The promises to Abraham was one person, no mediator. It was God saying, I will do this for you, Abraham. All nations of the earth will be blessed in you and your seed. And it just, he didn't say, if you do this. No, there's no if. He said, I'll do this. And he said, God, Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. It was all unconditional grace. And just one verse, 3:18, before I go, read in chapter 14. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. The word gave there could be translated, he graced it to Abraham by promise. The word has the word grace in it. It was unconditional grace, just God's promise. The law which came centuries later cannot make ineffective the promise that God made to Abraham. Now these Jews, when they claimed that Paul was just easy believism, was all God's work and nothing of man, they would say that the law, what was the purpose of the law then, if all you're saying is true? Paul tells us the law was given to show us that we could not keep it. The law was given to show us what failures we were. If the Lord should mark iniquity, who of us should stand? Would you want to stand before the Lord and let him examine us and try to defend yourself? In Revelation 20, when he talks about the great white throne and the books are open, there's no defense. Their mouths are shut. And that was the purpose of the law, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty of the law. Guilty before God. The law says guilty before God and under his curse. That was its purpose. Yes, God gave us a preview of the gospel in the promises to Abraham. And anybody who has ever been saved in the Old Testament has been saved through faith by the grace of God. Those under the law weren't saved by keeping the law. Those under the government were not saved by obeying the government or letting your conscience be your guide or doing the best you can. So many people will say, well, I believe if I do the best I can, God will accept that. The only problem with that is nobody does the best they can. There's always a time in your when you knew what was best and you did what you wanted to anyway. You sinned anyway. How can you stand and use that as an excuse before God? But God knows us, knows our hearts better than we know them ourselves, and worked a way that he could make salvation by grace that's free to all, that doesn't limit it to anybody. When it's by works, and when it's grace plus works, it still works. But when it's by works, you exclude some people. The thief on the cross. Well, if you could go back and pay everybody who you stole from, then you'll be saved. If you make reparations for the people you beat up or the lies that you committed, the mean things that you did, And believe me, the older you get, the more you look back on your past and you say, I was such a jerk when I acted this way to this person, or I did that to that person. If it wasn't for the blood of Christ covering my sin, if it wasn't that there was forgiveness with God, that all might fear, where would we stand? But God in His grace made salvation so it's free to all. No matter what your condition, no matter if you're hanging on the cross next to the Lord Jesus, and you say, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. His grace is so great that the Lord could say, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Amen. Is that fair? No, it's not fair. Salvation isn't fair. Fairness is only when you look at things you earn. Again, you look at works. And you say, by my works, I'm earning God's favor. That's why He shows me grace. That's why He forgives me, because I deserve it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. No man will stand before Him and boast. Say, I made it here by pulling up my own bootstraps. I'm a self-made Christian. You know, we're not. We're all losers in ourselves. But that's the whole point of the law. To recognize we're all losers. But there's one winner. We become winners by Him promising, and we believing His promise. Believe His promise. And it's ours. That's a wonderful grace, isn't it? That all leads up to chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors till the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, come of a woman, come under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. It talked about our relationship to Abraham. We are sons of Abraham by faith. But here he talks about another thing. He says, it's like a man who has this great estate. The father who owns that estate. And he has a son. And that son is eventually going to be the heir and the son of that whole estate, of everything he had. But while he's a minor, while he's underage, the Jews had the bar mitzvah as the kind of coming of age for Jews. The Romans had a certain time appointed by the father. When he's 14, under that he's under a guardian. In the previous chapter, he calls it schoolmaster. It wasn't really that he was the teacher, but he was a guardian. He was a slave that was a guardian of the heir to be and watched over him. The word literally means child leader. He kind of was in charge of the child up to a certain point. And then after age 14, in Roman law, up to 25, he was under a manager, whatever, to prepare that child for the time that he would become a son, formally adopted, an heir of the whole estate. And Paul says, that's kind of the way it is. It was with God with us. Being under law was like when the heir was a minor. And he was told, you know, when you were little children, your parents, your mother, would say, time to get up. You got to wear this. You got to do that. This is what you're going to eat. This is when you're going to eat. And every detail of your life, when you're little, they tell you everything to do. That was kind of like being under the law. The law said, this is the way you have to dress. These are the clothes you have to wear. This is the way you have to talk. This is what you can eat. This is what you can't eat. This is the day you keep this day of rest and this month and this year and this feast and that feast. Everything you're told what to do. That's the law. That's what these false Judaizers were coming in to tell the Galatians. This is what you got to do to be pleasing to God, to be acceptable to God. Faith plus works is just still works. And it diminishes the work of Christ, which was complete and took care of all our sins. He says it's like when you were a minor. When you get saved by grace through faith, God has adopted you as a son. And if a son, an heir. And when you become an heir, you're an adult now, you make your own decisions. You decide all those things. You're not under a manager anymore. You're not under a guardian anymore. You're free. Why do you want to go back to bondage? Like when you were a minor. There was a lot in the news recently about Britney Spears. People saying, free Britney Spears. I don't know a lot about the story, other than I understand that she had some mental issues and was put under some kind of conservatorship by her father, though her father was to decide for her how she could spend her money or her estate or whatever. And now that she's 25, she's suing to become free. Well, it's the same kind of thing. When they were minors, when you were under the law, under rules and regulations, you weren't free. You were no different than a slave. Why do you want to go back under slavery now? That's what Paul's saying. And it, not only does it apply to the Jews who were under the Mosaic law, but even Gentiles under their religion. All these other religions, they're similar. It's a religion of works, of do's and do this, do that, to appease and please the gods. It's the same. It's man-made religion. That is not Christianity. That is not the life of Christ within us. And you look around at a lot of churches, it's filled with ritual. Church I grew up in, actually they spoke in a different language when I started. It was in Latin. But every week, they said the same things in Latin, and we replied in Latin, even though none of us spoke Latin. And you would go through the same ritual. You would keep the same days, the same feasts. The people who would be priests would dress in a certain way. It was all man-made religion. But it was all do. The work of Christ in salvation is done. It's done. His work is done. It's laying hold of His faithfulness. He's true to what He promises. That's what makes us children of Abraham. That's what makes us sons. That's what makes us heirs. Don't go back to those same things. Galatians, what is wrong with you? You keep... Well, let's just read it. We didn't. He says, verse 8, "Albeit then when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days, months, times, and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Have I wasted my time with you? You're going back to what you came, the bondage that you came out of, thinking that that is going to save you. That is going to make you a child of God that makes you more pleasing to Him. No, it's not. It's not organized religion. We're not preaching the gospel to say, become a member of organized religion. Somebody said to my wife, you know, I got turned off by organized religion. She said, come on, visit us. We're very unorganized. We don't have all those rituals and trappings. But don't be surprised. There are legalists that will try to bring us back into bondage again, away from the freedom that is in the Lord. And, you know, you look at somebody, well, they didn't wear what I thought they should have worn. They didn't address God in the right way. I thought they should. They didn't use the correct translation. All those outward things which were similar to religion, rather than building us up in the most holy faith. We're not lords over anybody. There's one Lord. And we want to encourage every believer, follow the Lord. Don't follow men. Don't follow us. Follow the Lord. Spend time. If you spend time with the Lord, you will let His Holy Spirit form the life of Christ in you, and it will come out in your life. By putting you under the law and saying, you can't do that. You better not do that. That just stirs up the flesh. The law was not made for the righteous man. Through the Spirit, through the example of Christ, love is far greater than the law. When we follow love towards one another, love towards God, love towards one another, that exceeds the law. To put people under the law saying that that pleases God. No, it's not just enough, Paul says, that you don't steal anymore. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather work with your hands that you might have what you can give to those who have need. God has made us, given us a new life to make us a blessing to others, so that others are reminded of Christ, not of the law. I hope that nobody, when they see you, they would say, that person's a real stickler of the law. You know, they're really... No, you hope they think of Christ. The Lord had a drawing power. The drawing power of grace. The drawing power of the Spirit. The drawing power of those who are enjoying the free gift of salvation that God has provided. Even though free to us, yet at great cost to Himself. That's what others will be attracted to. And that's what Paul tells them. Don't go back to that. Whether you were a Jew under the law, the Mosaic law, or a Gentile under the religious laws that you were brought up to, that is not Christianity. And he says, I'm real concerned about you, brethren. Keep looking to Christ. This wasn't the way it was when I was with you. And he's going to go on and tell us something historically of how they received the gospel and how they would have done anything for Paul at that time. And these Jews, false brethren coming in, undermined Paul to them, made them, were Paul an enemy in their eyes. He said, think back of what it was like. That's for somebody else. Our time is up. Shall we look to the Lord? Lord, we thank you for your plan of salvation. That your Son came at just the right time. You sent him forth to redeem those under the curse, to make us sons and heirs. We thank you, Lord. In your name. Amen.